my location. So you're welcome to the call, and I believe you are live right now on BBS. For those who have joined in on the internet through BBS, welcome to the call. I'm still welcoming people who call in over the conference line. So welcome, if you do so, please say your name and location.
John from Aspen, Colorado.
Hi, John. Good evening. Welcome to the call. And more people have joined in. Welcome, everybody. And if you do so, please say your name and location.
This is Lucy from Orlando.
Lucy, good evening. Welcome to the call.
I will let you.
All right. Thank you. And more people have joined in. Welcome, everybody. Please say your name and location.
Hi.
Well, welcome, everybody. Hi, Wynn.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you sound good.
I do. I'm good. Tell me, is this better?
This is better than what it was on Monday.
It was better than... But it's, no. Is it, I got two ways. This is far away from the mic. Testing one, two. And this is close to the mic.
You know, there's not much of a difference, but I think you're rather further away a little bit.
Okay. Because I'm using a condenser mic plugged into tape, so it's pretty sensitive. No? Okay.
All right.
Good. Is Terry there?
Yes.
Good evening, Terry.
Good evening. Hello.
Good evening, Terry.
Hi.
Terry, I can't hear you. Are you muted?
No.
Terry.
I'm not muted.
I'm teasing you.
Oh. Okay.
Welcome back. All right, we are live on BBS, Wynn.
Yeah.
And we are past the hour, so ready or not, I think we need to get rocking and rolling.
Okay. We are ready to start. I mean, we're not ready, but we're going to start anyway. And let's see. Welcome, everybody, on BBS. This is our Wednesday night call.
Muted.
Hold on 1 second. We're not recording yet. Here we go, okay?
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
Hello, and everyone on BBS, everyone on replays, everyone on our line. Terry and Heis and Bogdan, who's sending out our emails, and all the people who are volunteering to make this possible. And, you know, it's kind of exciting because I'm getting feedback from people who are paying attention to our calls that we're replacing television and radio for some of them, which I think is wonderful because, you know, now that we have the Spirit Channel up and we have so many calls and so many transcripts, and to be able to, you know, if everyone, you know, how can I say this? Everyone who starts listening to our calls kind of gets the hope that some people get it fast. Some people click right in, and some people say there's something happening there, and what is it? And I'd like to feel it. They sense a sense of reality, but they're not able to totally engross. And basically, as I see it, all of us, every single one of us has come to this with a lot of conditioning. And the conditioning comes from reading television, watching television, reading newspapers, even stuff on the internet, a lot of it. And there's reality systems that not only do they inhibit your belief systems, which they do, but when your belief systems are inhibited or when they're compressed, your energy kind of matches your belief systems. And so when you want to make a shift, one of the easiest things to do is start to open up your belief systems. And what we do here, you can't believe it just because I say we're doing it. You've got to feel it. You've got to keep coming in. You kind of, if you get a sense that there's something we're doing that's valuable, chances are you'll get more out of it by just totally engrossing yourself for a while. Because then your patterns will start to change. So instead of watching TV, start listening to our calls if that resonates with you. Or watch TV less. Because TV tends to hypnotize you. There's even people that say there's weird frequencies coming through TV that are designed to hypnotize you. Now, I can't prove that, but I do know it hypnotizes you. I know we get bored, we're tired, we come home from work, we turn on the tube, and you zone out. And suddenly, you're getting programming, and there's a whole book, and there's a whole chapter in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where the Ra group, talking through David Wilcock, is saying how TV is one of the master manipulators of this realm. So if you're in that place where you're watching a lot of TV and you want to make a shift into higher consciousness, try watching less TV, try listening to more of our calls, and if you find other things that are uplifting and inspiring, then listen to them as well. Now, we're not the only ones on the planet that are holding a higher energy, but we're doing it for free. And there's like hours and hours of access. And if you engross yourself, just give it a shot. There's a chance that you will start to shift and start to feel the energy and start to make the connections with the higher realms. And I keep getting emails from people who are doing that, and it's working for them. And so if you're not at the place you want to be in any way, shape, or form, whether it's in your relationships and family, go to thespiritchannel.net and try listening in your spare time and turn off the tube and turn on the spirit channel. Okay, so we have some questions tonight. Let me see last-minute questions. We have Lizanne sending a question. Good one. Let me see if I can fit that in. I'm not going to talk too much. I already did my rant for the day. And just a moment here. I'm just posting a couple of questions that maybe we'll have time for tonight. Just a second. Okay. All right. We are ready. So, And I just want to add, thanking you all who are coming into these calls live, who are holding space for them, that are making something which is really virtually possible to happen in this realm become so commonplace. And somebody said, Wynn, how come you're communicating better? They said, you know, in the last couple of years, they said, I'm really communicating better, and Terry is channeling better. And why is that? It's because of you, because you are creating a safe place for this to occur. You are holding the space for us to come in such a way that we don't have to entertain you. We can get right down to business. And you are allowing yourself to be shifted and touched. And just by showing up, I say this for myself, I deserve credit for showing up, and you deserve credit for showing up. And of course, Terry deserves credit for showing up. And we're never ready, which is just how it's always going to be. So if you want to be ready, you know, some people want to think they can know everything. They want to know what's going to happen and how to prepare for it. And I don't think that's going to come about. We have told people, store some food, store some water, because anything can happen. We're on a wild ride on a dimensional shift. So, Terry, you're there. Yes? Hello, Terry? Uh-oh. Good thing I check. Hello, Terry? I see you're on. I see you're not muted from my end. Are you muted on your phone? We don't hear you. Hello, 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 hello. Calling Terry, Earth to Terry. Guys, you hear me, yes?
Yes, Ben. Yes, Ben.
Okay, so I'm working. Terry, are you there? There she is. She says, I can't get my phone unmuted. I don't know what's the matter. It's stuck. Her phone is jammed. Wait a second. Oh, finally. Hang on, guys. All right. You know what? You know what I have to do?
I have to call back.
You'll have to call back.
Can you hear me?
I don't hear you.
I hear you now, yes.
You hear Terry?
Yes.
You hear Terry?
Yes.
You hear me, Lance?
You hear...
It's in the back of your phone.
You hear on my mic, okay?
Yes, you hear. Yes.
So she's going to call back, okay? And so I guess I get a chance to talk for a little more. And those of you that keep checking in and you're sensitive, you start to get the understanding of how consciousness works. Not from something we explain, but the feeling that happens on the call, where you start to feel the connection automatically. We start to build a space, and that the space just holds, and you can access it. And, you know, it's interesting, because somebody that I have a little bit of respect for was talking about cording. You hear the word cording? C-O-R-D-I-N-G. And cording, I hear Terry now. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right. Good. Don't mute yourself, okay?
No, I won't.
Good. All right. So we're ready to start then. I'll tell you what cording is some other time. Look it up on the internet. It's just where people put strings, psychic strings, attached to you. Now, some people like those strings. And it's okay to have strings with each other as long as there's free will and you can move in and out of it. It's where someone kind of attaches your energy and holds and sticks there, that it's kind of a negative thing called courting. All right, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect everyone on this line, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present to give an introduction to us on this Wednesday?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is the 21st of November 2012. And we look at you on your planet. We are hearing an echo. Thank you. We see the darkness over the United States. We make connection. We see the beginning of the Thanksgiving holiday. We see people coming together for a pleasant, but in many cases, a somewhat worried Thanksgiving. We make contact with each and every person who wishes contact to be made with them. We do not use the telephone lines or the radio. We have a direct line. We are available to you, each and every one of you. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. We have a question, and I'll probably add a couple questions to this question. The question is, does it help to pray for deceased souls? And the things I want to add is, in what circumstances is it helpful? For example, if there's a deceased soul in your family or your friends, someone you had an energetic connection with, or if it's a deceased soul that's a public figure, or if it's the deceased soul that just there's a newspaper article about that got killed somewhere. In what circumstances is it helpful to pray and effective for a deceased soul?
Thank you.
We should say a deceased body, not a deceased soul. I don't think souls get deceased, but a deceased body that's now in their soul.
Thank you. We see that it always helps to pray in each of those circumstances, to pray for the person whose body is deceased. And we see also that if the person is included in the prayer, as if the person is present, but yet
not a calling to call the soul away from where he is. If there is a very light prayer, a very light greeting to the person, but not heavy to call the person away from where he is moving to, as when a person passes over, it is a time of transition, and the person goes through a transition phase where he, she learns to operate within the new framework of operation, wherein they move by intention and they learn the new parameters of their new life, and they are making choices, the choices of going into the tunnel of light and moving to the higher dimension and meeting friends from the past. Or they are in a sudden, possibly a sudden shock of the change in their relationship to the body and cannot understand it, because as they move from having a body to not having the body, they still have the sense of being alive, and therefore they do not realize that people cannot hear them, and they may continue talking as if someone can hear them, but they do not get an answer, and then they get frustrated. And if the person who is close to them is weeping and weeping, and not including them in the possibility of being there with them, then it can be very frustrating to the individual who is trying to get through, is trying to say, perhaps, look, hey, I'm still okay, I'm here. Individuals go through different things when they pass over, depending individually upon that person, what they were doing before they passed over, what their goals and intentions were. We're reminded of one gentleman who had an apartment house and was unwilling to let it go when he passed over, and would keep walking through the apartment complex, even knocking on people's doors, and then when they would answer, he would show up, he would be there, and they could see him, and then he would gradually disappear. So if when you make your prayer, you realize that you can include a person as if you were talking to him, as if he, she was there, then you can magnify the results of the prayer a whole lot.
Now, how about for strangers, of people that are like in the newspaper? How does prayer help them when you don't have an energetic connection with them? Or maybe you do from the newspaper.
Thank you. You may pray for them. For instance, to give you an example, Terry prayed for Mother Teresa after Mother Teresa passed over, and Mother Teresa was reading people in the crowds of people that turned up after her death. She was greeting the people, and she was making contact with them, even though she no longer had her body. And Terry showed up also to give her support, and she did not really know that Terry was there based upon the fact that the many people were there, that she was cognizant that those people were there for her, and her focus was on those people. So if the person who's passed over frequency, if their focus to what they're paying attention to is very concentrated, then they will not realize that you are praying for them. However, this prayer will, in general, go to help that individual.
Thank you. Next question is from Carol Davidson. And she is frustrated because she sees people repressing things rather than letting them come up and heal. She asks, is there a way to impress upon people how important it is to clear the air and clear emotional issues, which will eventually manifest into physical problems? I guess she means diseases, if they're not cleared. Do you have any suggestions on that topic? And I think we should ask that for ourselves. How do we do that for ourselves? How do we make sure we deal with our issues first, and before we start worrying about everyone else? How do we surface our stuff so that it can be dealt with?
Thank you. If you observe your own responses, if you observe your own reactions, and then keep this in mind, the individual, each individual has a magnificent body that is working to coordinate their belief systems and the surroundings around them, what is happening, and coordinate their body responses to all of this, so that if they got startled, then the adrenals would kick in and you get an adrenaline rush and you would begin to come up to the level of response to whatever startled you. And if you keep in mind the beautiful machine, the way that your body biologically responds and handles the flow of adrenaline to the body, the flow of bile to the body, the flow of blood through the body, the heart rate, and it is all delicately tuned, and you are like the master controller of it. So your belief systems have a major influence on how your body works and how it kicks in the adrenaline and how it responds to situations, so that if your belief system is that, say, you were raised to be very shy and were very much afraid of speaking out, then your body would attune your whole responses to that. And if you came into a situation where you needed to speak out, then your body would have resistance to this based upon the past training. So the whole response of your whole body is keyed, tied to your belief systems and how you yourself are responding to the stimulus around you. So if you were believing in shyness, that you could not speak, then your whole body would be geared to this chemical tying in together to have your body response be what it is. Now, people have a certain belief system. Let's say that one is having too hard a time and they're thinking that maybe they would like to opt out of the life circumstances because it's too overwhelming, it's too hard. Then their body would set that tone according to their belief system. They would then maybe not want to eat. They would not get the nutrition they need, perhaps would not drink the water that they need to give the system the life vibrancy that it could have. And this would influence them. This would influence their choices on how to have remedies, how to repair the body. They may slack off on taking their medicine because things are just too overwhelming, and so they place their body in a dumbed-down state by being slightly sick. And they keep it in that mode to go along with their beliefs. So one should work when they find somebody that could be getting better but isn't, and they make suggestions that could be good for the person and the person is unwilling to look at them, they can take a look at the person's desire to keep on going, desire to connect, desire to communicate. Is there something in this area that they could help the person with that would give the person more of an incentive to get better and to move his body system into a better operating state? Another thing is the belief in a doctor's system, a medical system, so that the individual would fix upon a certain remedy prescribed by a doctor. Say that the person needed to have a certain procedure, and that certain procedure, if you looked it up in the medical records, might have a very low percentage of people getting better using the medical procedure. However, if the person totally believes and has faith in the medical profession and his doctor, then they may simply go along with that without checking some alternative and working that, say, keeping his doctor and yet checking out other systems that could alleviate the condition rather than to just keep the condition in homeostasis. We are not suggesting that people give up what their doctor is saying. However, we do suggest looking at results and looking at optimum ways of providing nutrition for the body, optimum ways of giving the body the exercise it needs. And then if a person is using those optimum ways and they go back to their same doctor, the doctor then will start to find that the individual is getting better, and the whole system can work in harmony.
How about things like rage? You know, rage is sometimes hurtful to other people, and yet people have rage inside them, and it eats them up, and I think it makes them sick. How does a person deal with the expression of rage and
Thank
anger?
You. Yes, rage can shut down the whole body. For instance, if the person has just eaten and something is said or that triggers something that throws them into a rage, the whole body can shut down. The stomach can go sour. The bowels can stop working. The juices can stop being excreted. And the whole body can freeze and stop. Is rage is not a, it's a stopping point. It's something that sometimes is very hard to express. And so one holds it back and one has rage and held back rage, which they stymie each other and there's no place to go. And the body can get calcified and the body is responding to those signals. And so it just can come into a stopping point and then things don't flow and the person can be more open to getting cancer because of the energy not flowing through various areas in the bowel system and in the body, not digesting the food properly. So how can a person handle rage? Rage can be a magnificent fuel to propel one forward, to give one tremendous energy to move through their difficulty. And if they can convert this rage into a fuel to use to burn, to give them more energy towards moving through something, then this is the ideal way that rage can be used to help a person. It, as it was intended to give one the impetus to move through some life-threatening or a difficult circumstance. Also finding ways of expressing rage with humor or satire can help to relieve it somewhat. Going into the bedroom and hitting a pillow can help to take the edge off the rage. Rage is a place on the scale of emotions, and above rage, then the person can move into the higher emotions, even up to boredom or cheerfulness. It's a place to be, and it's temporary. And one should not condemn themselves if they feel rage. If they analyze it, if they observe it, if they track it back to why they would have gotten the rage in the first place and how their belief system has been, the belief system has been perhaps invaded by something foreign to it. And if they could analyze all the aspects of it, they would see exactly why they have the rage. And if they can begin to get earlier, like earlier rages, then they could eventually get to something that happened that was unjust or was wrong for them. And their rage at the current time is often attached to some earlier rage, but was totally, completely justified. And if they can get back to the first time that they can remember that they felt that, and then what happened just before that, and take a look at what happened then, and then they can begin to unlock the reasons for the triggering, and they can begin to work through that. That is our answer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. This is from Robin in Tustin, and she was wondering about what is often called the space brotherhood, which many say will show themselves soon. Is it true? When will the new abundant economy manifest? Now, I'm going to answer that. I'll let my sources comment on that after I answer it. We've had a lot of questions on that. And this is different than the normal party line that a lot of people are saying. And that there's a lot of channelings coming through that are identifying itself as space brotherhood, which, according to our information, are coming from negative sources. There is a whole manipulated design in other dimensions to manipulate us, and they go any way they can to look like this and look like that. So according to our information, that's not going to happen. There are interventions, and when we asked about, is there anybody up there that's positive, they said yes, and they're working on creating positive wormholes in higher dimensions. I don't think they use wormholes, but, you know, creating energy flows. The Ra group, we believe, according to our information, is who is making crop circles. Certain groups of ETs are interested in making sure that nuclear weapons don't go off, because it affects them. And so in that case, there may be some nuclear weapon missile intervention. And the future, what happens on December 1st? Well, basically, we're in a flow where things are going to occur. Now there are already things are happening. It's like December 21st is not necessarily a pinpoint day for things to occur. It's like when winter changes into spring, it's like the date of spring, when spring starts, it's not like a door opens and a door shuts. It's a gradual thing. So December 21st is the highest point of energy. Now, there are possibilities that there are intelligences that will use that date and use people's anticipation to try to create certain calamities in this realm, because one of the things the negative would like to do is create fear, because fear cuts us off from the higher dimensions. And if they're trying to control us, if they can create fear, they will effectively have cut off our signals into the higher realms. So it's very, very important that we all face these things courageously, and that the more we hold together, the more we send our positive energies into the higher realms, the more our sources can assist and help, which we know they do. And I did run this question about, you know, ET intervention by Carla Ruckert, and she had the same information, that basically the positive sources are not going to show themselves as ETs. And they operate where we can't see what they do. They don't want to be seen. They don't want people when, well, let's just say that would happen, that a bunch of ETs would land. People would give up their power to them. And that is exactly the opposite of what's needed to graduate this realm. And that is my information. And I'm going to turn it over to Terry and anything they want to add or subtract to that. We're open to hear here. Thank you.
Thank you. There are a number of races that do visit Earth. And there are some of these races have other agendas that are self-serving. And they have a program for the use of the materials on Earth and for the use of some of the life on Earth to further their own objectives and their own goals in their own life. There are other races which have the objective of helping. However, they are not making themselves known. There are some races, the Greys, that are working with the government and the, by government, we do not mean the president and the Congress. We mean a shadow government beyond. And there are programs, and these are self-serving. We take a look further. There is, beyond that, a federation, and the federation has rules that they abide by. And so the individuals working for the federation do have starships, and they do visit, and they do follow, in general, the rules of the federation, which are for the service of the Federation. However, they're also not as self-serving as the other race known as the Greys. These individuals in the Federation are observing to see what mankind is going to do, and they do not wish atomic war, and they do have some forays where they will disarm nuclear missiles. They have our best interest at heart, only that it coincides with they have a best interest at heart for mankind in general, and it is part of their rule which keeps them on the straight and narrow within their own visitation. that is some information.
Thank you. Merrill in Seattle asked a question about praying and healings. Some people are instantly completely healed, whether they believe or don't, or don't even realize someone is praying for them. Others may be healed partially or gradually over time, and some others receive nothing. Aside from those who are choosing the secondary gain from illness, what makes the difference? What makes the difference in healings?
The secondary gain from illness is broader than you might think, in that when a person has an illness, they need to check their belief system and how much they wish to be healed. If a person has a disease, could be because their belief system is holding that disease in place, or it could be because they have had contact with an area that is imparting disease to them. In a case like that, the individual does not have a systemic desire for the illness and can be cured much more easily. The body will heal much more easily, and prayer can help the individual to kick the disease. It can be an impetus to shed the disease more easily. Other people have a contract that they would be here, say, for 34 years or 64 years, however long, and then they had made up their own mind subconsciously that they then would leave. And so to pray is a good thing. However, their body is following a different programming and will not then use the prayer towards their healing.
Thank you. Let's see, I think we have time for... Well, you know what? It's 7:54. We're supposed to be off in a couple of minutes. I think we should take the last couple of minutes and bring in the energy and just put our planet in the light right now. Ask for support and help for the positive sources in other realms for whatever can be done to help shift our planet into a higher positive mode, taking advantage of these shift energies that are happening. And hopefully BBS won't cut us off because they hear silence.